Blog Talk Radio.
It's almost time.
You right there with the pretzel. Time to sit down.
Cruise, man. Yeah.
Hey, you going to the concession stand. You going to the bathroom. Come back. The show's about to start.
Got my boys. We out here ready. We about to be some high-flying, high-slamming, slammer-jammer, three-point shooting between the legs, behind your back, through your legs, on your neck. Hey, everybody, if you guys are getting your seats, I'm going to sing the national anthem.
Ready.
It's time to... I put it down the babies, put down the pepperoni.
Let's go!
5, 4, 3, 2, 1,
game time!
Well, good afternoon, family and friends. This is another Blog Talk Radio show, Parents, Coach, and Parent Network. I am your host, MHK. And as always, we're going to be here for another wonderful show. So I'm going to give you some time to get your pen and paper out so that you can take some copious notes there, because we got some information to share with you this afternoon to make sure that you truly understand what goes on in the world of college recruiting. You know, when schools are out there and they're recruiting these kids, our children, and I always like to stress that point, that they are our children, so therefore parents, we need to be very mindful and very protective of that issue. I got a little crawl in my throat there, so if you hear me, pause for a second there. I'm just trying to make sure that I'm not sharing any of that with any of you. So as a result, we're going to move on here. But when schools are out there recruiting our children, I like to stress that point in saying our children, because they are our children, and we are, or we should be, their biggest advocate. We want to make sure that they're doing everything above board when dealing with these young folks, when dealing with our young folks. And the point I stress here, and the point I like to get across to all of you here, is that we have to remember something. Our kids at that age and that stage in their life is, for the most part, what? 16, 17, 18 years old. These are kids. In a lot of cases, you can look at them and say, these are still babies. So why would we even consider allowing someone to take advantage of our children at that young stage? Please help me understand that. Help me understand that. You know, because of the simple fact that our kids are not thinking with a clear mind when they're out there and they're dealing with some of these very fast-talking and well-educated and very crafty in the art of sales coaches. And, you know, whether or not it's the head coach, whether or not it's the assistant coach, whether or not it's someone they have designated as a recruiter, but someone that has been very skilled in the art of selling. And that's the whole purpose, is to sell our students, our children, a bill of goods based upon them believing that this is the best possible fit for them in this particular situation. And what I'm talking about, I'm talking about college recruiting. But we'll get back to that here in a second. But before I go into that, you know, I'd like to hear my man, Mr. Keith Wright. He's doing some wonderful things up there at the University of Harvard as he continuing his season. And Harvard's looking good. I believe Harvard's still in the top 25 in the country. This is a little something from my man, Keith Wright. Oh, yeah.
Student
another game. Had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know what would make it with the knowledge in my brain. And if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in. Meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end. And when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen. But I'm hating then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching, I'm just trying to spit knowledge and the knowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart cool. That's how I do.
That's my man, Mr. Keith Wright, big power forward out there at the University of Harvard. Check him out from time to time. They had quite a few games that's been on national television circuit, so get a chance to check him out. Keith is a local guy from the Virginia area, so, you know, I support him each and every time that I get a chance, as well as quite a few of them other young men out there. You know, let's talk about this issue of recruiting. Let's talk about this issue. I mean, I say that, you know, because just last week as I was listening to one of these major television sports network shows, I'm not calling any names or anything, but as I was listening to the show, I noticed that they had a little story. It was a very quick story, and I don't think I've heard anything since then, but they had a little story talking about a young man out of Atlanta that signed for one of these prominent football programs, Alabama. You know, Alabama just won the national title, however you can look at it, however you choose to look at it. But Alabama's been a prominent school in football for quite some time. But to my understanding, and if anyone was out there and they had a chance to catch this very same story, please chime in and let me know what you heard. And if you heard something totally different, hey, please feel free to give us a call at any time at 646-929-2416. 646-929-2416. But young man initially signed a national letter of intent to go to Alabama, okay, and he will be starting school, or would have been starting school this coming summer. And somewhere along the line, and you know, this is where the story gets kind of fuzzy and cloudy and whatever else, and I hope I have some of my good experts to call in to give us some insight on this. But somewhere along the line, this young man was contacted either by Nick Saban himself or, you know, one of his members on the staff. And I would think that in a situation like this, the head coach would have called in and or called this young man and had this conversation with this young man. But the bottom line to the thing was that the coach expressed to him that, you know, he liked to have him and enjoyed that, you know, was excited that he chose to come to the university. But at the current moment, he think it would be best for the young man to actually not come to the school and be a redshirt. No. Not come to the school and actually be on scholarship and sit out for a year. But he would promise the young man that he can come the following year. So right now we're looking at, this is 2012. The young man would have started school in 2012. Now he's trying to convince this young man not to take up this scholarship until 2013. The young man is due to graduate here in June of this year. And we're going to tell him, okay, well, you know, 2013, I'll definitely have a spot for you. And I know you signed a letter of intent, and I will write up a letter promising you that I will have a spot for you come 2013. So please bear with me. And I think the young man actually went for it, or the young man was convinced that that was in his best interest. I am not sure why, how, or whatever, but the young man decided to go forward with this here thought. And as a result, you know, the news reported that young man out of Atlanta, that he decided to, he said that he's going to take on a job or, you know, have something to do over the next year or so while he waits to go to Alabama. Okay, parents, at what point in time do we stick our hand, foot, arm, ears, leg, toes, whatever in there and say, okay, something's wrong with this picture? Parents, at what point in time do we reach out to that coach and say, coach, are you serious? Parents, at what point in time do you realize that there was an injustice done to your child in that situation? Let's flip the script here. Had that child been a top quarterback and the school needed a quarterback for next year's program, he's number one quarterback coming out of the you know, national polls or whatever, okay? Top notch, you know, got all the mechanics down to a science. You know, he can throw the deep ball. He can, you know, he can throw from out of the pocket with no problem. You know, he knows how to stay in the pocket with no problem. He knows how to create a play out of nothing. You know, he does it all. He got it. You know, he can read the defense, you know, with his eyes closed. At what point in time do we step in and say, okay, there's a problem here? Because if he was that number one quarterback coming out of high school, trust me, and he signed that letter of intent to whatever program, that program would be jumping up and down, making national noise to say, hey, young man, you wanted to come here to us. We're not going to let you out of this here national letter of intent. Because they look at the national letter of intent as a contract. You know, they try to hold it as a binding contract, you know, and that's the way they put it across to these young men. You know, and if they want you bad enough, they even try to push the issue of a verbal commit to say that, hey, you're not getting away from us. Now, of course, if the young man really and truly, young man, or let me say this, if the athlete could be a young lady this as well, decides not to go to that university, then there's normally a problem. So what's the difference if a university decides not to honor their scholarship? What's the difference if a university decides not to say, okay, fine, then we're going to put you on the sideline for a second. Tell you that you can't come here for this. I'm trying to do something at the same time, so excuse me if it sounds like I'm pausing and I'm stuck in thought. I'm not stuck in thought. I'm just I'm trying to get my chat room open, and it doesn't seem to want to open for me. So we're gonna move on from there. But anyway, like I was going to say. What happens if the university decides that they don't want to honor that scholarship? or as what was stated on the national television sports program, that the coach informed the young man that he will write him a personal note saying to him that he promised that he will bring him in next year. Okay, what good is that? That's true. A man made a promise and all that kind of stuff, and he should honor that promise. But who says that coach is even going to be there next year? Who says that coach is not going to move on to the next level? Or some other school comes along and sweeps him out of there and gives him a big fat paycheck, and therefore he takes off and goes to another school. What good is that? Let's not play this game with these kids. I'm serious, parents. We need to be more involved in this process, because if we don't, our kids will go through these hiccups and these other issues that these coaches put them through. Let's talk about the University of Alabama. And me personally, I have nothing against the University of Alabama. They've been recognized as the national champs of what? Was it like in a playoff down to the last two teams, or was this based upon somebody voting and deciding that, this is the two teams that should play in the national title? Anyway, okay, 21 kids this year prior to National Signing Day, which is coming up next week, 21 kids thus far have decided to go elsewhere from the University of Alabama football program. Okay, one young man, defensive lineman, decides to play baseball. Another young man, running back, he's transferred to Alabama North, whatever that may be. It must be another university. Okay, linebacker, he's transferring to a community college. Okay, you're one time committed to Alabama, ready to sign national letter of intent, or has signed a national letter of intent. That's why it's listed as a transfer. And now you're going to a community college. So are they saying that they're stashing you away for a whole year, and then they're going to bring you back to play you after you done that year at community college and done some additional training or whatever? Another young man, defensive lineman, East Mississippi Community College. A running back transferring to Auburn, smart move, young man. Wide receiver transferring to Memphis, smart move, young man. Defensive back transferring to University of California, Pennsylvania, smart move, young man. Don't sit and wait for nobody. Defensive lineman, another one, transferred to Mississippi Gulf Community College. Come on now. You can do better than that. There's other schools out there that want you. You know, if you're that hungry and that excited about that particular program, LSU's out there, Ohio State's out there, you know, quite a few other schools that was also probably or should have been recruiting you are out there probably looking for you. So if you put your name in the mix, then you may come out with something. But, you know, we allowed this to happen, and that was 21 kids in just in the year of 2011. 21 kids decided to transfer. You know, then you got a couple of medical hardships. You know, so I'm assuming that they may have some type of medical issue, so they're gonna to sit out. And he's got another one. Scholarship not renewed. What the heck do you mean, scholarship not renewed? What is it? Was he not performing? Help me understand that. Was he not performing, or was he not performing to your standards? So you decided to push the kid to the side, get rid of him, or whatever. As a result, the kid's scholarship was not renewed. A running back, a wide receiver, a safety, all these young men. Scholarship not renewed, scholarship not renewed, scholarship not renewed. Transferred to Georgia State Division One AA, quarterback. You know, academically ineligible. Headed to a JUCO. academically ineligible. Now, he was ineligible if and really truly if you wanted to keep him. You kept him around and you kept him in the right classes, or you stayed on top of him long enough to keep him around to win that national title, but now he's academically ineligible. A linebacker, academically ineligible. Future, unknown. You know, so what kind of stuff is really going on here at this big name school by the name of Alabama? You know, why is it that they are so protected or so guarded that you can't really tell how many kids they actually have on scholarship? At any given time, they do not provide any type of report to the NCAA that the NCAA makes public to say, okay, hey, this is how many kids that Alabama has on scholarship. Why is that? That's a problem to me. That is a very disturbing problem to me. And I'll tell you why that is a problem. Because of the fact that if they're not reporting how many kids they have on scholarship, they are not reporting how many kids they have on scholarship, then what's going on here? What is really truly going on here? Well, it looks like I have a caller on the line. You know, I've been talking for a good minute. I'm quite sure my caller seemed like may have wanted to get in some time ago, but I'm going to go ahead and check in and see what this caller has to say. Good afternoon, caller. You're on the line with the Parents Coach Parents Network. Who am I speaking with?
Hey, Mike, this is Maxie.
Hey, what's going on, sir?
Nothing much. Looks like you're talking about gray shirting. Is that what you're referring to?
Well, no, I'm not talking about gray shirting, and I understand that process, and parents, what he's referring to. He's referring to when you bring them kids in a little bit earlier, but they're not really on the scholarship, full scholarship process, but they are there and they're able to do conditioning and spring training, things like that, but they're not actually playing. What happened here recently, Nick Saban told the kid that, I don't have a room spot for you this year. I could bring you in 2013, but the kid had already signed his national letter of intent.
Okay. So he's already signed the NLI, and then they have withdrawn the scholarship.
Yep.
Okay.
They withdrew it and told him Nick Saban. And it was on one of the sports channels. Nick said that, I'll write you a note saying that, I'll write a letter saying that we will bring you in on 2013.
Well, actually, if he puts the issue, he can get released from the NLI. And
yes, yeah.
Sound like Alabama was not a good match for his skills and talents.
Between
the lines and say there may have been other issues, but the parents should have gotten involved much earlier in the process. And one thing that a lot of our kids do not do, they need to look at a school that's going to be a good match for them and not a school that the university says that they think will be a good match. Look at your skill set. Look at your academics. Will he fit in at a large university like Alabama, or does he maybe need to consider a smaller school?
Well, you know, that's been an ongoing trend at Alabama. I don't know if you caught the earlier part of the broadcast, but, you know, they have released 21 kids that was initially scholarship kids that ended up transferring to different schools, or even in some cases to junior colleges or to community colleges, because of the fact that at the time they decided that, okay, well, this kid is no longer cutting it for us. And that's been an ongoing issue where Alabama doesn't really report how many numbered scholarship players they have on roll. You know, because they can max number that they can carry is 85.
Correct.
And Alabama, for whatever reason, doesn't give that report to NCAA, or the NCAA hasn't made that information public to say, okay, hey, all right, they have 85 kids and they are, you know, players 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 85. That's not the case. Alabama shuffles these cards around as often as possible so that you never know how many kids that they actually have on scholarship. I got a problem with that because how do you track their graduation rate? If you can't keep track of how many kids they got on scholarship, how do you track the graduation rate?
Because
and that even be reported like everybody else is?
It's been reported. I know this has been an issue that has come up in the last 18 months or so dealing with various SEC schools, whereas they over-recruit. And being that your scholarships are from year to year, you don't have multiple-year scholarships, which was done way back in the 70s. And if a player is not performing up to, quote-unquote, the coach's standards, they can just release them and do not fund their athletic scholarship. They can pull their scholarship for the following year. So this is why you have some kids who would prefer to be a part of a Division I program and sit on the sidelines, whereas they could go to a smaller school or lesser-named school and perform. I was always told, if you're good, no matter where you are, they'll find you.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And you know, I understand fully what you're saying, and I agree with you. And I also see another part to that. You know, these coaches being the shifty and the quick-thinking guys that they are, of course they have to maintain that status to keep their, you know, keep that upper edge and stay in that winning bracket. You know, they often look at, okay, another kid pops up out of the blue. Now they got one kid over scholarship, but this here kid that nobody knew about that they think is going to be a steal, that's going to bring a little extra to the table when he joins their program, how can we get this kid into our program? So as a result, why not release this kid? Why not release Kid X and pick up Kid Y? You know, I'm quite sure you've seen or heard that before as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it goes on all the time. It's a meat market. It's a competitive market. It's just like professionals.
Yeah.
You may be playing this year, but you may be waived the following year. And what do? Your career is going to athletic career is going to come to an end by either deselection, injury, or age. And by age, you're looking at diminishing of skills and so forth. But there are so many schools out here that and programs that would be better fit for a lot of students who we see sitting on the sidelines on Saturday afternoon during the fall.
That's sad, and I think, like you said earlier, parents need to get a little bit more involved and be a little bit more proactive as far as supporting their kids and trying to help their kids look at the overall picture. You know, you want to get somewhere where definitely you're going to get in there and possibly get some playing time or reasonable playing time. You don't have to be a starter. You don't have to be on the field, you know, every play or every quarter or whatever. But you want to get some reasonable playing time. So, therefore, you're not one of these kids that coach say you're not performing up to standards, so he release you from your scholarship or he don't renew your scholarship, or somehow you realize you're not getting any time at all, so you decide to transfer out, or somebody comes along and talks to you about transferring out to another school somewhere. You know, that I don't think that's fair for the kids.
And I agree with that, but if you don't have that knowledge and you don't have someone who is guiding you from a mentoring aspect, giving you that, there again, that parental knowledge, someone who is an advocate for you. You know, a lot of times when we're young like that, we don't know which way to go. And
exactly.
So, unfortunately, we get so many of our young men and young women now who are being lost by the wayside. And you may have heard me talk about this before, but, you know, in a lot of ways, college athletics the revenue producing sports of basketball and football in a way that's the new plantation. I mean, let's take a look at it, Mike. Their labor is coming from the inner cities, young on the backs of young black men, a lot of times, who do not have the expertise or the knowledge to know exactly what you're doing. The NLI is a legal and binding contract, and the market is in favor of the institutions who are governed by the NCAA, which is a multi-billion-dollar-a-year industry. So if you don't have that initial recruitment education up front, if some issues arise once you have enrolled at the school, you may not know which way to go because you're depressed, you're sad, so you just give up. You're going to school first to get an education. That's why they say you are a student athlete, and if you're gaining the knowledge while you're there, you're going to be able to make better decisions while you're there and once you leave there.
That's true. Providing that you are really and truly gaining knowledge and you're not stuck in one of those old systems where they keep you around just long enough to keep you eligible to play, and then at the end of the day, after you used up all your eligibility, you're on your own. And then you walk away from there without even having that piece of paper saying that you successfully completed that task.
That's correct.
I understand that.
That's correct. Are you going to school to play sports, or are you going to school to get an education and play sports?
Exactly. That's true. But you see how they do a lot of these young men and women nowadays. Like you said before, if they don't have the knowledge up front or have an understanding of what they're getting into up front, they can easily be distracted or be guided in the wrong direction, and you know, the parents not knowing anything, or parents haven't taken the time to get involved, and as a result, you know, there's no mentor there. As a result, the kid loses out on the end. But the point I wanted to get across as we were talking about this over recruiting and, you know, this injustice that's done to these kids in that situation, that's why I stressed the point, and you've said it time to time as well. Stressing the point of making sure that parents understand the process. Parents know what they have to do in this process. It's not an optional. If your child's playing sports, you have to know. Do you agree with me on that?
I agree with you on that. They're in the stands on Friday nights. If it's football, and what, Tuesday or Friday nights, whenever their basketball games are scheduled, but if there is academic-wise, school-wise, sometimes you can't find them.
Yeah, that's true.
They really know what their kids' grades are. Sometimes they don't.
That's true. And as I say, parents, they got to be on both sides of it. They have to be able to pick up the phone and call that guidance counselor. Just as fast as you pick up the phone and call the coach and complain that your child didn't get in the game.
But now, not only the guidance counselor, get involved with the teachers on the high school level. You know, you have to let the children and the teachers know your expectations for your child. Okay, are you expecting this child to learn, or are you just expecting this child to go through the motions so he can get in college, get a scholarship, and possibly play professional sports for a season? And a season can be 2 or 3 years. The average professional career is only 3 years. So what are you going to do after that? I mean, if you haven't gone to school to get an education and you only majored in eligibility, what do you have to work with athletes? How are you going to transition into a life after sports? And that's what our parents should be advocating.
That is so true. But, you know, as well as I know, parents don't take that as serious. I've seen too many cases where where young men, you know, they're out there, they're playing sports, they're very successful at it, but at the end of the day, the grades aren't there, you know. So he or she ends up sitting on the sideline watching everybody else graduate, and that child barely getting out of high school.
Barely getting out of high school. So, I mean, if you don't learn the skills while you're in school, you have nothing to transition to after college. I mean, you're sitting on the sideline, career, no expectations, and there's somebody else. There's another body coming up to do the same thing that you once did for the school. Once they're finished with you, you're done. Your career is over. Unless you were a talented athlete and they bring you back, but if you haven't gotten your education, 9 times out of 10, they're not bringing you back. They don't want you around the program. Okay, it's time for you to move on. We have fresh meat in. I hate to say it like that, but basically that's the way it is.
That's true. And I think that's one of the reasons for this over-recruiting issue, because what happens, and I believe this is what happens, you know, coaches see somebody else that come along that pops up out of nowhere and decide that, okay, well, maybe I can get rid of this kid because he only runs a 4.6, and this kid here coming in, we got him, he runs a 4.2. And we need somebody with just a little bit more speed. And we thought this was going to be the best we're going to get. So as a result, let's go with this kid that runs this 4.2. I think he has a better, as they put it now, upside.
He has a better upside. And there again, there may be some attitude problems. There may be some discipline problems. There may be some is the kid coachable? There may be some issues there. So, if you have 8 running backs and you can only afford to hang on to 6 of them, okay, 2's got to leave.
I understand that. But what happens in the case where the kid hasn't even stepped foot on the campus yet? Initially, the school went after him. The school initially was recruiting him. But prior to signing day, which is next week for the big Division I schools, prior to signing day, the coaches decide, we're not going to extend that national letter of intent to you. We're not going to extend that. We're going to move forward with somebody else. But I know we got a spot for you next year.
Mm-hmm.
What happens then?
There may sound like there may have been some type of eligibility issues there or some grade issues there.
No.
None of that took place.
Like that young man that's out of Atlanta, there was no issues with him. Nick Saban reached out to him to let him know that we're going to have to bring you in next year. In other words, he don't find somebody else to replace this kid and decided to bow out of honoring that national letter of intent.
Okay, so basically they over-recruited.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And this kid has put in the paper. It was in the news last week that the kid decided, well, I'm going to get a job for a year, and then I'm going to go to Alabama. Man, you lost your head. You lost your mind. You better go to some other school. Somebody else will pick you up just as fast as Alabama was after you and willing to pick you up. Somebody else will pick you up just that quick.
If you have the talent and so forth, yes, there are other schools. And if you were talented enough to be signed by the University of Alabama, there are other schools where you can play and perform. As I said before, it doesn't matter where you are. If you're good, and you have the skills and the ability to play at the next level, you can be at a little small NAI school. If you have the talent and the skills, they will find you.
Exactly. Well, Max, we get ready to wind down here. You know, since you chimed in with us, give us something to close with. I know you done wrote some good, inspiring pieces here lately.
Basically, my thing is still parental involvement. Everybody comes in this world has some type of leadership skills, and we must remember that high school athletics and sports, that's just a season of a student's life. They're not going to do that forever. Yeah, we enjoy watching them perform and so forth and so on, but what are we going to do afterwards? And that's where the parents come in. Parents, become involved with your kids. Stay active in your kids' life. Don't just show up at the games. Be at the parents-teacher conferences. Find out what's going on at school where you might be able to come in and not only be an advocate for your kid, but maybe you'll be able to pass that knowledge down to other people. If your kid's going through the recruiting process, keep notes and pass it along to the next kid. But remember, you're there, you're a student first. You're there to get an education. You're not there just to be another piece of meat, just to be an athlete.
Exactly, exactly. Hey, let us know how we can get in touch with you, Max, if we need some more of that inspiration.
Got a website coming up. Hopefully it's going to be published by the first of the month here, but you can contact me at maxi@listenlearn-lead.com.
All right, all right. Listen, learn, and lead.
Or get me
listen,
on
learn.
Facebook.
There you go. Listen, learn, and lead. Check it out. Inspirational information. Always, always positive note come from Mr. Maxi Lee. As always, Max, we thank you for joining us this afternoon, and we'll be
thank
talking
you,
to you again soon.
All right.
All
take
right,
care.
Brother. Yes, sir. All right. But, folks, we had an opportunity to talk with Mr. Maxi Lee. He wasn't initially called in to be a guest, but as always, when he comes up on the line, I know he's going to bring some insight that, you know, will be beneficial to us. This over-recruiting issue, parents, as I always say, is a problem, is a serious problem. Please, please, please get involved, you know, with this information. Check us out on Facebook, Parents Coaching Parents Network, or you can email us at any time at pcphr@aol.com, and we'd be more than happy to assist you, guide you, motivate you, and help you drive forward with this recruiting issue. When your child's going through this recruiting process, you know. Also, you know, follow us on Twitter, PCP Network on Twitter as well. We're there for you. Help us help you. And as always, I say, the Parents Coach and Parents Network, you can listen to us on Blog Talk Radio.
Check out Parents Coaching Parents Network on blogtalkradio.com/parentscoachingparents.
My man, Mr. Keith Lee, is going to close us out. Where you at, Keith? Close us out.
Student of the game, had people frontin' talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know what would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain.